preach here tonight. It's going to be interesting to see who coughs more, me or the speaker tonight, but we hope we don't get afraid and all run out the door, afraid you're going to get infected, although I may be the one that infected him when I was at his house last week. I'm not sure. Anyhow, I was thinking back when Rich asked me to open the service for him. I was thinking about the first time I met Rich. And if any of you know Roy and Mary, you know Mary's always planning and cunning things. And I was staying at their house when I was visiting Idaho one time. And one night was kind of free. And she says, "Brian, you want to have somebody over?" I said, "Well, sure." I thought she'd ask Bob and Deb or many of the church members there. And she said, "Okay, how about my daughter and her new husband?" "Who's that?" "Well, Karen and Rich." I said, "Are they interested in the church?" "Well, no." So I, you know, in my mind, I'm going, "Why would I want to meet them?" You know. But I was a nice guy. I said, "Sure, bring them on over." You know, and they showed up. And one thing I learned about Rich that night was that he eats more than any person I ever met in my life. You wouldn't know it by looking at him, but the boy can put the food away. After they left, Mary told me she was scheming to get them by trickery to the reunion, which we held at a camp, and she didn't bother to tell them it was a reunion. She just told them to go camping, and they arrived there. And, you know, since that time, you know, I remember regretting really having to meet Rich and Karen, and since that time, we have traveled all over the world together. We vacationed together. They've gone with me to Africa. We've done many things together. I stay at their house. You know, we become good friends. And even though we've been able to travel and vacation together, you know, one of the best pleasures of life is being able to serve the Lord together. So I'm very proud and happy to have this opportunity to introduce to you this night our brother, Elder Rich Bove, to speak to us. Well, I thought about it. Caribou.
How about now?
Okay. Yeah, Bob kind of laughed at me because I work at probably one of the most high-tech companies in the world, and I don't even know how to use this microphone. So please bear with me. Bob, like Brian said, we're probably going to have a contest who coughs the most up here. Mine's not. I'm not sick. I got really bad allergies right now. So allergies are taking over. But what I want to talk about today is, and it was mentioned earlier today from Bob, he asked if we had a theme at the Idaho reunion. And it's interesting how things work that, you know, in the beginning of a reunion, how quickly people can pick up on a theme. You know, like, okay, what's God going to talk to us about? And at the Idaho reunion, it was very emotional, very emotional. And God, I feel like God was reaching out to us and to talk to us and let us know what we need to do. And then when our sister stood up today and gave testimony, and she said that we need to be strong enough and fight. I think that's the theme. And then when we heard our brother Hugh preach of how we need to be prepared and take God's word and hold on to that rod of iron and hold on to it because sometimes we fail. So I think a theme is out there that we need to get prepared for this, what's coming towards us. So I entitled I don't want to cough on you guys. I entitled my sermon today, "How Can God Help You Thrive in Life?" And I don't believe in coincidence at all. I think God is reaching out to us, you know, and telling us, okay, we need to become prepared. And I got here, throughout our lives, we find out that not everything goes as planned. We want to go one way and the rest of the world pushes you another way. That's life. And we've all experienced that. And we've all continue to experience that. Sometimes it becomes a challenge just trying to survive in life. Have you guys ever felt that? That sometimes it's just hard to wake up and get up out of bed knowing that something is going to go wrong. But we as humans also want to succeed in life. And I want you guys to look at succeed a different way. I don't mean to be famous. I don't mean to, you know, have all the money in the world. To succeed in life. To lead a good life. Be successful at life. While all this is important, what about thriving? And I looked up the word thrive today in the dictionary. Well, on my phone. Not my dictionary. On my phone. And it means to flourish. And to overcome challenges in times when you feel that they can't be overcome. That's the meaning of thrive. God has a plan for each and every one of us, and not only to survive and be successful in everything that we do, but God also deems it necessary to thrive in life. And I want you to think about that. God wants us to be successful in life. He wants us to survive this life that he gave us. But he also wants us to thrive, to flourish, to overcome those challenges. Hubert mentioned it in his service today. It doesn't, you know, Jesus never said it's going to be easy. And he even mentioned that there's some people out there saved by grace. Well, I believe in God, so I don't have to do anything else. I'm automatically saved. Wrong answer. That's not the way to approach it. We need to thrive. We need to thrive on this, to be successful and to nourish and be flourished. Huber kind of touched on this earlier today, and our sister definitely touched on it during her testimony. In today's society, people have become numb to the things that several years ago were considered pure evil. Think about that. Things that people consider okay right now. Years ago, used to be pure evil. And all we got to do is turn on the TV. Like nowadays, these zombie shows, these vampire shows, people become numb to it, thinking that it's okay. That it's not going to affect them. But they become numb to it. And they accept it. But when they do this, you know, they know that it's a total abomination in God's eyes. It always has been and it always will be. And like our brother Hubert said today, God's not going to change. You're not going to hear God say, well, you guys believe in zombies, so I think I'll do that too. That will never happen. It's an abomination to God. One thing that I see, especially while I'm at work, and how our sister mentioned it while she was being approached for saying a poem about, you know, and when she said, you know, where did that poem come from? And she said, it came from my Lord and Savior. That's where it came from. And then they get approached by these people. Like, how can you believe in God? You don't even see him. Really? We don't have to see him. We feel him. Brother Hubert mentioned it. I'm going to pick on you today, Hubert.
Go ahead.
But he mentioned that earlier today. Of how many times our brothers have been out in the field and they've experienced things that you can't even imagine. But then when you try to explain it to somebody that doesn't believe in God, that never happened. But yet they turn around and go and watch shows about zombies and they believe every bit of it. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I want to turn real quick to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Here goes my voice. I'm going to start on verse 11. Isaiah chapter 5, starting with verse 11, says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol, the tappet, the pipe and the wine are in the feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands." Okay. We come into people like that every day. And it's difficult for us. When you tell them, "Oh, I'm a Christian," their eyes get big, they step back, like, "Oh, okay." But then they try to fight back and make you fail. Okay? Be strong. Like our sister said, fight. We sang a song today. They don't want any cowards in our ranks. Okay? That's a message. It's a message. Verse 13 says, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it." That's not a place I want to be. But we got to be careful. We got to be careful. "And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness." Glorify God. When our sister said, "I read a poem," and I was asked, "Where did that poem come from? Did you write that poem?" No. I got this from my Lord and Savior. Okay? Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it. Stand up to it. Verse 17 says, "Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places and the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw in iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope, that say, let him make seed." "Let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." That's what I was talking about. That's how numb society is today. I have a really hard time watching the news. Every time at night when the news comes on, I close my eyes, I lay on the couch, and I just fall asleep. Because I don't want to hear it. I already know what's going on out there. And it doesn't take not more than 5 seconds in the news, and you hear about all the evil that's out there. So when our sister said we need to fight, you better believe it. We need to stand now. We need to stand now. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." How many times have we come up to that? Where the second you say, "I'm a Christian, I believe in God," then comes the ridicule, the name bashing. We've heard it all. We've heard it all. But yet we still are here. Why? Because we are given God's strength to move on and move forward, to thrive. over 2,000 years ago, Israel fell. They lost all their freedom simply by turning away from God. Does this sound like stuff that is going on in today's society? Okay. And I got here, murder. How many shows out there do we see on TV or hear about or watch the news about murder? About ISIS that's out there. I just recently told Karen that there's a country in Mosul that they grabbed 1,000 kids and used them as human shields. Okay. It's real. Okay. It's real. Idolatry. Okay. We don't want to be stars or famous. We don't need to be. Adultery. Okay. You see it on shows all the time. You hear it from friends, neighbors. And the list goes on and on and on. I got here, bad things happen to us because sin's all around us continually. We as Christians should not be alarmed about this. Okay? So when somebody mentions to you things that are going on in the world, do you step back and go, whoa, how can that happen? Are you alarmed about it? You shouldn't be. You really shouldn't be. Because right here in the scriptures, it says it's going to happen. All this stuff is going to happen. And we're in the midst of it. But are we ready? Are we ready to fight? To stand up to it? To thrive? I want to turn to 1 Peter. And please bear with me, my book is falling apart here. First Peter. I want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'm going to start with verse 12. And this is what I've been talking about. It says, verse 12, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." Okay. We are given trials every single day of our life. We're put to the test. So don't think that it's something strange happening. Okay. It's going to happen. Are we prepared for it? 13 says, "But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." Christ overcame this. Why can't we? He's making us strong. He's building us up. He's making us succeed. He's making us survive. He's making us thrive. Verse 14 says, "If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye." Are you? Or are you ashamed? Are you ashamed? Do you turn your head away and say, "Well, I'm a Christian"? Or do you stand up and say, "I'm a Christian, and this is why I'm a Christian. This is what God's done for me, and I know He can do it for you"? They may walk away and never talk to you again, and that's okay. That's okay. When my friends found out that I was called into the ministry, I got one left. One friend that I've known for 30 years. I got one left. Everyone else walked away. They didn't want a part of it. So when Brian said that Mary wanted us to come to the house and meet Brian, and Brian's like, "Well, do they want to be part of the church?" And Mary said, "No, not really." God had a different plan. He definitely had a different plan. Because I don't know if you guys all know Roy, but I didn't want to meet him. because he was a minister. I didn't want any part of that lifestyle because I heard about, oh, Christians, this is what they do, this is what they think, they're so strict, they believe in God, blah, blah, blah. I heard it all, and I was that person. And it took that camp, camp reunion, to change my life forever. Fight back. Fight back. Don't be afraid of the friends that you lose. I lost maybe 10 friends, but look what I gained. I got a bigger family, thousands and thousands of brothers and sisters in like faith. Verse 15 says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters." Okay? We don't want any part of that. I hope there's no murderers in here or evildoers or whatever, thieves. Okay? But we've all been down there. We've been around these people. We need to overcome them. It's a challenge. It is a challenge. "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Okay. When Roy and Mary and Karen and I went, we were on vacation, and still Karen and I did not commit our lives to Christ. We knew that we occasionally went to church, you know, just to go. And then we were out on the patio in on vacation at a resort, and it was Sunday, and Roy wanted to do a service. He goes, "Well, we're going to take the service outside and do it on the patio." And Mary's like, "Well, let's bring the hymnals and we'll sing." I look at Karen, I'm like, "Did she just say we're going to go sing outside?" "Yeah, I think that's what she said." And that's exactly what we did. I didn't tell Mary no. Those that know Mary, she's probably like 3 feet tall, but you don't tell her no. And that spirit overcame us. An outside service that Roy provided, we sang songs, and when we were done, we all went back into the living room and continued our day. But I can just imagine what the people around were talking, you know, probably saying. Like, this is our vacation. They're out there singing. Probably badly. I'm sure I'm no very badly. But don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed. I mentioned this before. When you're out in a restaurant, do you pray for your food? Something so simple. Do you kneel or bow down your heads and pray over your food at a restaurant? You don't see that often. Why? Why are you ashamed of it? Don't be. Don't be. Verse 17 says, "For the time has come that the judgment must begin at the house of God, and it first begin at us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Okay. Like our brother Hubert said, hold on to that rod of iron and hold on tight. Hold on tight. Don't let go of it. Because the second you let go, I'm like, oh, it's going to be okay. I'll just let go for a little bit. Then you're going to fight your way back. It always happens. And getting back is the hard part. Verse 18 says, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Okay. Therefore, commit the keeping of their souls and suffer accordingly. Okay. We're going to suffer. Okay. We're going to have bad days. It's going to happen. Don't be shocked about it. But one beautiful thing is the good days overpower the bad days. They always have. You have more good days than you have bad days because you overcome them. You have God's strength to challenge that bad day. We must understand that we don't live in a perfect world. Jesus himself warned us that in the world we experience difficulty. Okay? I don't know how many sermons, how many classes we've been taught about enduring to the end. Okay? Just that one word, endure. What does that mean? That means it's going to be difficult. We have to endure. We have to overcome something that's going to push us apart, that might test us and push us over the edge. Are we strong enough for it? Can we hold on to that rod of iron that our brother said? Are we ashamed? John 16, one verse. John 16, one verse. Verse 33. Verse 33 in John chapter 16, it says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Okay, this is Jesus Christ himself speaking. He says, you will have tribulation in the world. What does that mean? It's not going to be good. There's going to be trials out there, temptations that are thrown at you. Evil thoughts, evil doings. But what did Christ say? I've overcome this, and so can you. So can you. He overcame the world. We don't need to do that. We just need to overcome our workplaces, maybe our town, and our brothers that are going from country to country. We can't take on the world ourselves, but Christ can. Okay, I'm going to tug on some heartstrings here. Bear with me, please. So I got down here, when things don't go perfect in our lives, the first human response is to blame others, or at least blame someone else so they take the focus off of you. Has anybody done that? Blame somebody else for something that you've done? Okay. If you guys want proof, come back to Idaho with me and I can show you my job. Okay. People put blame on a lot of things at my job. Because one mistake and millions of dollars are thrown away. Just by somebody's one mistake. And I hear it all the time. Well, I didn't do it. It wasn't our shift that did this. It was that person that did it. I just took over their machine while they were at lunch. We hear it all the time. Okay? They're putting blame on something that they did. Or they're on somebody else that didn't even do it. Okay? We all know the story about Adam and Eve. Okay? That's where the first blame came from. The first blame game, if you want to call it. Okay? And why do I say that? Because when they were in the garden and God spoke and said, "What are you doing?" "Well, we're hiding." "Why are you hiding?" "Well, because we're naked." "Who told you we were naked?" "Well, that serpent." "Eve, what did you do?" "I partook of the apple." "Why did you do that?" "Well, the serpent made me do it." First blame. "The serpent made me do it." And then he went over to Adam. "Adam, what did you do?" "Well, Eve made me eat the apple." There's a blame again. That's where it started from. We're no different. But look what happened because of that one event. Look what happened. They knew the difference between good and evil. And God was upset. I got down here. Where do you think some of these situations come from? When you're having a bad day or something's going wrong or your day's not perfect, where do you think some of this is coming from? Okay. And I want you to think about this, because I'm gonna pull some more heartstrings with this. Okay. Do these come from the world that's out there? Probably. Did it come from you? Personally, do these thoughts or doings come from you? Or did it come from the evil one? Most likely. Okay. But here's where I'm going to tug on some heartstrings. What about God? What if that situation came from God? You're probably looking at me like, why would it come from God? Why would God make me have a bad day? Okay. Think about it. Our brother Hubert mentioned it. Okay. We're put through trials. We are put through trials. And tribulations. Not so much temptations, but tribulations. And I put here, God puts you in situations to shake you up a bit, okay? To get you a little bit motivated. Okay? It happens. It happens. How many times have we gone through a situation where we thought we could not possibly get through this? Ever, on our own. And then we kneel down and pray, and all of a sudden, the doors open up, and we have perfect guidance of what to do. But we're put to that test. God's testing us. Okay, I want to see how you handle this. Are you strong enough? Are you going to fight? Are you going to fight in my behalf? Or are you going to cower away and be ashamed? Fight. God does this a lot to bring you closer to Him. In Jeremiah chapter 29... Jeremiah chapter 29. Oops. Starting with verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." So He already knows our thoughts. He already knows that we're going to be challenged and tested. But He wants you to come to Him. And so when we come to Him, right there, "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will..." Excuse me. "And I will hearken unto you." Okay, what does that mean? He's going to be right there for you. Right there for you. And I'm here to say, He's probably never left your side. He was probably always there with you. Just waiting for you to call upon Him. Verse 13 says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Okay? We can't go halfway on this. We can't. Being in the military, you can't go into battle with half of a weapon or half your platoon. It's not going to work. So God's going to be there fully for you. And He wants your full attention. And he's going to search within your heart. Verse 14, it says, and I will...
You guys can't hear that cough. I'm sorry.
And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations and from all places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Okay. That's an interesting verse right there. Very interesting verse. Because he's telling you right there, I made you be captive. I put you there. Now you're coming to me, asking for help, wanting my help, not being ashamed, and calling me your God. So what did he do? He pulled him from captivity. But he, right there, I'm the one that put you there because you walked away from me. Be careful. Our brother mentioned this earlier today in his service. And I heard it a few times in testimonies. I got here, the evil one wants you to fail. Okay. He wants you to fail. I don't know, was it you, Hubert, that had the testimony of that door? And Satan was at the door? A sister? Okay. Satan wants you to fail. And like our brother said, what was on the side was a third of the host of his angels wanting you to fail, grabbing at him. Okay. There's nothing good in that. Nothing good in that. But God wants you to thrive, survive, and succeed. God already knows the things that are wrong in your life. Do you? And I wrote that down here for a very specific purpose. God already knows what's wrong in your life. He knew yesterday, he knows today, and he knows what's going to happen in the future. Okay. We don't know the future. We know what happened yesterday, and we know what's going on today. Are you aware of your surroundings? Are you aware of the things that are causing you to fail? Are you successful? Are you spiritually uplifted? Are you guided in the right direction, put on the right path? As a brother said, are you holding onto that rod of iron? Or are you occasionally letting go of it? Hold on to it, and hold on to it with all your might, because it doesn't take much to pull you away. It doesn't. One thing that I'm really sad about it in my life is that I wasn't introduced into the gospel. That hurts. That hurts. My parents were Roman Catholic. And when I told them I'm going to the Church of Christ, and I called my mom on that day I was going to be baptized, I said, Mom, I'm so excited. I feel a change in my life. I'm converting my life to Christ. I'm committing my life to Christ. I'm going to be baptized. And she told me that I was baptized when I was 2 weeks old. And I told her, Mom, when I was 2 weeks old, what did I sin? That I needed to be baptized. What sin did I commit when I was 2 weeks old? She had no answer. God had a purpose. It took Mary Kuhn and Roy Kuhn. They say that it wasn't a lie, but I think it was kind of a lie, saying that it was we're just going to go camping, but it was a reunion. But it changed people's lives. And I was open, and I was very open to listen. Very open to listen. And when they said, yeah, we're studying out the Book of Mormon, okay, okay. I didn't judge the book. I didn't put down the book. I picked up the book. And I read it. And it wasn't long where it changed my life completely. Completely. I think it's funny, well, it's not a funny situation, but I think it's funny that when I was called into the ministry, and I always look back like, I wanted nothing to do with this type of lifestyle. Nothing to do. I knew there was a God. That was it. But it changed me. Okay. And now I'm going to fight. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to stand up. I love God. He changed my life. So when people say, you're a minister? Really? Really? That's how I lost a lot of my friends. A lot of my friends. The second I told them, I'm in the ministry, all they can think about was my past. They focused on my past. And I told them, that person you knew back then no longer exists. That person died. Here's a new me. Okay. Fight up against it. Be strong against it. Thrive from it. I learned from that that type of experience. And I think we all need to. Okay. Does it hurt? Yes. We don't like to lose friends or family members. But if it helps us grow in the gospel and we're serving God, who's winning? We are. We are. Jeremiah chapter 17. And I totally lost where Jeremiah is. Jeremiah chapter 17. Starting with, I'm just going to read two verses. Verses 9 and 10. Okay, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Okay. I want you guys to think about that. The heart is wicked. Or is deceitful and desperately wicked. Okay. Sometimes our heart goes in one direction that we don't want it to go. Okay. And we need to fix that. We need to fix that really quick. Okay. It happens. That's the human in us. I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. What did I mention? He's going to put us through these trials. He's going to test our hearts. He's going to test our doings. What are we going to get out of this? He's putting us into this to try it, to see how we overcome it. Are we going to flourish or fail? Okay. Stand up. Stand up. This one is tugs on my heartstring a little bit. Do you find yourself walking away from God when the pressure is on? Or do you draw closer to Him? I don't know how many times I've had a bad day and Karen goes, Rich, are you praying about this? No. No. I'm angry right now. I'm upset. I've had a bad day. Why aren't you praying about it? I don't want God to know. Really? He already knows. He already knows. But he wants us to go to him, to seek him, to search for him, especially in that time frame like that. And when Karen says, Rich, did you pray about this? That's like a, duh. You know, I had that moment like, wow. Not for 1 second did I think to kneel down and pray because I was upset. But the second I did, I wasn't upset anymore. It happened that quick. But it took my stubbornness, my bullheadedness to overcome it. We're our own worst barriers. We need to sometimes fight against ourselves, to overcome ourselves, to move on, to thrive. Allow God to correct you. He does this because he loves you. Okay. How many believe that? Okay. As parents, we have kids. They do something wrong. What's the first thing we want to do? We want to correct them. And I don't know how many times I got in trouble when I was young. And the first comment that came out of my mouth was, I can't believe you are yelling at me or spanking me. You don't love me. And I go storming out the door. That's not what it was. They were correcting me because they love me. And that's exactly what God's doing to us. He chastises us. Our brother mentioned that in a prayer today. Lord, let thy spirit come upon us during this reunion. Whether it be in chastisement or whatever. Sometimes we need to be chastised, to be corrected, to get that little nudge to put us over onto the right path, to bring us back from that evil path. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay, we're all in a race. We're all reaching for the same goal. Think about that goal. We want to achieve eternal salvation, eternal life. Okay? It's a race. We're running this race. Are we going to sit down, relax, or are we going to get up and run and do it and run and get the fight done and win? Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay? Jesus went through all of this for us. We're no different. We can go through the pain, the suffering. We need God's help, but we can overcome it. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be wearied and faint in our own minds. We have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And we have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto us, unto children. My son, despise not thou chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Okay. Right there. So when I made those comments to my parents after I was spanked or yelled at and talked to, grounded, restricted, however you want to call it, put in the corner with my nose in the corner. Okay. When I made those comments, you don't love me. And now standing up here as a parent, I'm like, wow, how wrong I was. They did it because they love me. And it hurt them. I'm sure it hurt them. It hurt them very much. Verse 6, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is him who the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exceeding exercised thereby." Okay. God corrects us. He corrects us all the time. Okay. He's probably up there laughing. Like, let him do it his way for a little bit. But now he's coming to me. I'm going to correct him. He's not going to like it. When our sister mentioned earlier today that, I lost my spot. When her sister mentioned, where was I? What verse was I on? I just lost that verse. 11? Oh, being chastised. And exercise faith. One second. Sorry, guys, I got just a little bit distracted there with the phone. So, but I quickly want to say, when we follow God, he allows us to hold on to things and make us stronger. Okay, he builds us up. Okay, he builds us up. He doesn't want us to fail. Ever. Ever. And I mentioned this before in sermons. I've heard it in testimonies. I've heard it in reunions. I heard it all the time. That we know people that something bad happens to them or their family or friends. And the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, "Why would God do this to me? Why is he putting me through this?" Really? Really? Don't blame God. Go to God. Let him correct it. It hurts. Sometimes we fail and walk away. We've had members in our local walk away. Some might come back, some might not. And as a church family, that hurts. It's very affected to a local. It hurts. It's like losing a limb of your body when just one person walks away. But you got to be careful. Why did they walk away? What made them walk away? Were they strong enough to begin with? Or were they weak? Okay. How can you get them back? That was kind of the message that was going on at the Idaho reunion. That's why it was very emotional. How are we going to get these people back? It hurts when a local loses people. Why? Why did it happen? Get them back. In Hebrews chapter 12, again, I'm just going to read two verses, verses 26 and 27. It says, "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." Are you strong enough to be shaken and remain? To hold on and stay focused. Be strong. Fight it. Okay? Things will happen. They always do. But we can overcome it. Don't be afraid of this. Look what Job went through. I want to close with this. Okay, sometimes God allows us to lose things that we find important in our lives, only to make us understand the true value of it. And I got a list here of things that we may think it's important and value in our lives. And this will show a sign of my age. I put the number one reason for me is health. Okay. I sometimes feel like my health is deteriorating, and I don't want to lose it. Money. Okay. We all need money to buy stuff. Friends, loved ones. Okay. Have you ever experienced that type of loss? Money can be replaced. We lose money all the time. But when it comes to friends and loved ones, okay, that hurts. We're affected deeply. We're wounded from that. Okay. How do we overcome it? Okay. God's giving us these tests. Okay. Yeah, you've lost friends, Rich. They're not coming back. Oh, they'll come back if you give up your ministry. Or you give me up. They'll take you back. You know what? I don't want a part of it. I will never go back to that. And I can stand before you today and say that. That's not a part of my life anymore. Because I don't want it. I want no part of it. Okay? I want to thrive. I want to flourish. Our brother mentioned, Hubert, I'm sorry, I'm picking on you over and over again. Okay. But he said, the stronger you get is the more, I'm paraphrasing, the more you're immersed in it. Study the scriptures. Know the scriptures. Understand the scriptures. I have the attention span of a goldfish. Okay? I'll be honest with you. I have a memory for like 15 seconds, and after that, I don't remember what I said. Okay. When Hubert's up here and he starts belting out scriptures, like, okay, I can find this and so, 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 and so, and in this book and that verse and page so and so, I'm like, whoa, okay, hold on, I'll get there. Okay. But the more I'm immersed in it, I may not be the perfect reader. But the more I'm immersed in it, I learn from it, and I grow from it. I want to be that soldier that God wants us to be. I want to be that servant that we were called to be. I want to be that fighter that our sister said that we need to be. Don't be ashamed of God. Don't ever be ashamed of God. Stand up for Him. I've been asked this question before. What would I do if God was no longer a part of my life? What would I do if God was no longer a part of my life? I don't even want to picture that. I don't even want to try and focus picturing on that. Okay. But think about that. What do you think would happen if God wasn't in your life? Or in your marriage? I'm sorry, I'm looking at you. I know you're not married, but I'm looking at you. But what about in your marriage? If God wasn't in your marriage, I see it over and over again. How many marriages have ended up in divorce that had God nowhere in their marriage? Ever. Ever. And then they're like, oh, I can't believe we're divorced. It was just bound to happen. But then if you're equally yoked, it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. Be of like faith. Let God keep you on the path. Let him lead you to eternal life. And I want to close with these verses in Proverbs. And I want to close with these verses on Proverbs chapter 16. Starting with verse 1. It says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of men are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth his spirits. Okay, what we may think is good and acceptable, like I mentioned earlier, when we become numb of our surroundings, be careful. Stand up and fight against it. Be strong against it. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Okay. Get that evil out of your life. Your surroundings, if they're evil, get rid of them. Get it out. Don't hang around those people that are evil. Have no part of it. Don't be ashamed of it. Rich, you don't come around anymore. How come? I got a friend in Mountain Home, Idaho, that when I was in the military, I knew him for 10 years. And he's one of the first ones that when I said I'm a minister, that was it. And he called. He called. Rich, how come you don't come around anymore? I said, and I told him straight out, because you have a foul mouth. I wasn't going to hide it from him. He's like, well, you've cussed before. Yeah. Yeah. But now I know it's wrong. And occasionally, I'll admit it, a bad word will come out of my mouth. And I ask for forgiveness. But that foul mouth of his, he had to be told about it. Using God's name in vain was the biggest one for me with him. I didn't want to hear it. But that every sentence that came out of his mouth, he was using God's name in vain. And that was it for me. I haven't seen him since. Haven't talked to him since. Am I ashamed that I brought that up to him? No. Do I miss him as a friend? No, I don't. I lost one friend and I gained thousands. I won from that. Verse 7 says, when a man's way pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way. Sorry, guys, I'm losing my voice. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directed his steps. Okay. Let God put you on that path. Don't go down that path of destruction. We've all been down it. We've all been down it. We're guilty. We are guilty. But we got God on our side. He's going to guide us and put us in the right path again. Always has, always will. Verses 16 through 20 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Okay, depart from evil. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Okay? Put your trust in God. Okay? He's mighty to save. Always has, always will. Proverbs chapter 3, two verses, and I want to close with these. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Okay? We can't do it on our own. We can't. Trust in God. In all the ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Okay? When we're put on that path and hold on to that rod of iron, what's going to knock us away? Hold on to it. Hold on to it firmly and strong. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Okay. Walk away from it. Okay. As I mentioned earlier, today's society, we are so numb to the things around us that we think that's okay. As our sister said, it's not okay. It affects us. Okay. God wants us to succeed. He wants us to survive. And he also wants us to thrive. We can do it. We have his strength. It's us that's holding us back. I want to thank you for your time. And I apologize so much for my lack of voice and coughing in the microphone. But thank you for your time.